Thanks, everybody. Luke chapter 1. And I need a volunteer. Volunteer read verses 59 through 63. If I get somebody, if you need a Bible, you can grab one from one of the ushers. Anybody need a Bible, actually? All right. But it's also here on the screen. Anybody, just read it on out. Luke 1, 59 through 63.
On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father,
Zechariah,
60. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing table, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John."
All right, thanks for reading that. This is around the birth of John the Baptist, who was the cousin of Jesus. And there was something that took place, which we may go back to, where an angel had come to Zechariah while he was ministering in the temple, and had spoke to him concerning a son that he was going to give him. And he had instructed him, when he spoke to him, to name his son John. That was the instruction. But Zechariah went on to begin to question the angel about, well, how can this be, because I'm old and my wife is old and all these other things. And so the angel struck him so he couldn't speak. And it appears here also that he couldn't hear. So there he was, couldn't speak, couldn't hear, and that was it. So these months had been passing, the child came, was born, and you have what you have that we just read. Now, a lot of factors go in to shape our lives. I want you to think about the factors that have gone into shaping your life. And we can think about family, how your family shaped your life, for better, for worse, whatever. But your family has shaped your life because you grew up there. You grew up in a household. You grew up with a father or mother and or mother. You grew up with brothers and or sisters. There were people in the house. Some of you grew up with your grandparents in the house. Some of you grew up around aunts and uncles. But somehow, some way, they helped to shape and guide your life. You have friends that helped to do that. I was just talking last night. I was reminded of a guy I hadn't thought of for about 10 years. Is this guy that I used to hang out with in high school. And he was kind of a, I don't know how to describe him, not a good influence on me or anybody else. And we'd be hanging out all the time. We ended up going out, getting in trouble a lot, whatever. And he lived kind of a wild life, but now he's a shop teacher in Buffalo. All right, and he in a middle school or something. And so, but I was thinking about him the other day and the influence that he had, and some of my other friends. School has certain influences over you, that whether you, whether it be high school for you, or whether it be going to school, maybe a lack of school would have an influence over you. When you went to college, if you went to college, whatever major, however you graduated, that would have an influence on some of the decisions maybe that you made after school and where you're at now. But there was some influence there, your abilities, or your perceived abilities, your perceived talents, will sometimes influence your life, influence your decisions. What your interests are, influence your decisions and who you are. And in all of that, and that is an exhaustive list, and you can think of this different influence, different ways that you've been shaped in your life. But there's an X factor in all of that, and that is God. Because no matter where we come from, no matter what our families were, or who they were, or what school we went to, or some of the others who our friends were, whatever the factors were, abilities, talents, interests, whatever, God is an X factor in all of that if He is Lord of our lives. And I want you to think about that for a second. Because when God calls us, or when God speaks into our life, He does more than just make a suggestion. That if we come to a place in our lives where God is leading and guiding us, where we look to Him and we ask for Him for His vision, or we look to Him and we ask Him for His leading, or we look to Him and we say, "God, what do you have next for me?" And we're putting ourselves in that position. Not only does He speak to us to make a suggestion, But his words are also creative in a lot of ways in our lives. In other words, when he speaks to us and he says, I want you to go do this, there's something that takes place in us that's very creative in that. In the same way that God spoke and all things are in the creation, that his words were created by their very nature, that he said, let there be light, what does the Bible say? And there was light. You know, and the other things that he said in the creation, when he spoke them, they are. And so when God speaks into our lives, something is created there. Whether we run with it, whether we take advantage of it, whether we hold on to that and move forward with it, that may be up to us, but something is created in us as he pours forth vision and he puts a call into our hearts, into our lives. There's something real, something tangible that takes place. Now, an example I use a lot with this is, and I like to use people that you know, would be Aaron Parlato. Now, Aaron Parlato, when going to school, was marked and was diagnosed as learning disabled. She had certain learning disabilities in school. Now, I'm not telling on her here. This isn't anything she hasn't said publicly to everyone here. But the fact of the matter was, her parents were right there. They could probably let you know a little bit more about this. But there were certain things about her that the teacher said she'd never be able to do. There were certain things about her that the counselor said she wouldn't be able to like learn languages and things like that. And it was just a part of her schooling, part of her growing up. She used drugs. She was a boozer. She failed in a lot of things that she tried. When I met her, she was she came out to a group that we were having down at Scotty's Coffee Cave on Marshall Street. And that's how she ended up coming into the church, was through that group. But when we met her, there was all kinds of issues going on. She was living with some people that were pretty horrible influences. And yet, there she was. Here she was. And God became an X factor in her life. And there were certain things that he did in her that were more than just change her attitude, more than just change the way she saw things or the way she thought about things, even though those things were really important. I believe there were certain creative works that were done in her to prepare her for the call that God had put on her life. In other words, an expert says, well, you'll never be able to learn languages. Well, she picks up languages really fast. Now, what changed between this expert evaluating her or those experts that evaluated her said, well, you're not going to be able to do this, and her going to Senegal, picking up Jola faster than anyone that we've ever seen, and being able to speak French with people, and now being in China learning Chinese. I don't know if you know anything about Chinese. That's not the easy one, okay? If you want to learn languages, yeah, Chinese is not the easy one to get, all right? Start with Spanish if you want an easy one. Or French or something, but don't start with Chinese. But she's learning Chinese, and she can speak Chinese well enough to have simple conversations with people, be able to read it, and be able to write it. That's kind of crazy, all right, for a person that they said couldn't learn languages. And yet something happened in her from the time that she came and she began walking with God in a real way, following after the call that God put on her life, and ended up where God wanted her to be. Something very creative took place in that. Now, what was it? I don't know. Did a little piece of her brain grow in or something? I don't know. Was there a dead spot where the language was supposed to be that was, you know, filled with malted hops and bong resin? I don't know. Did God restore it? I have no idea. I don't know. But something happened. Something real, something tangible, something that you can actually look at and say, wow, this is something really different. Something happened that God made her, prepared her, and created in her what she needed in order to fulfill what he called her to do. And he does that for all of us. Whether we recognize it or not, whether we see it or not, whether we understand it or not. Now, if you ever met me in high school, in early college, I could not talk in front of people. I would get really shy, and I would look down a lot and mumble into whatever, because I'd have to do oral reports, and I was horrible at it. And I felt really self-conscious and had a really hard time with that. But as God was calling me into what he had for me, I began to stand up in front of people, and I was able to talk. Now, you could say, well, maybe that was just you got used to it. Well, it didn't happen like that. It wasn't that I got used to it. It was that one day I stood up, and it was in a class I was taking, where I stood up and I just talked. It was this class I took in college. It was a communication course where it was after God had spoken to me and said, this is what I want you to do. Now, I was in a line of study that I really hopefully wouldn't have had to get up and talk in front of too many people. And I chose that on purpose because God was changing my outlook and changing what he had for me in my life. And I was beginning to follow that. I looked at some of my courses upstairs. I said, you know, I need to take a few courses here that are going to help me out for the future. And one of them, when I looked at it, was public speaking, because I was having a hard time. And so I looked at that and said, okay, public speaking. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't want to take this. I hate this. I hate doing this. And it's one of those courses where it's not a requirement. It's not something that no one's telling me I have to take it, except for I believed I was supposed to take it because of what God had for me. And so the first day of class, you walk into this class. I told this story a couple of times, so bear with me if you heard it. But I walked into the class. There was this video camera set up in the back of the class. And then back then, video cameras were like this big. You know what I mean? They were, you know, 3/4-inch tape. And you got to drag a bag around with you. And the tripod was extra sturdy and all this stuff. The thing was huge. And so the video camera in the back of the classroom, we all sat down on our desks or our little table over there. There were these 3x5 cards turned over. You know, just sitting down on the desk. So they just sat down there. And we walked in, and the teacher's like, yeah, don't look at the instructors were walking in, don't look at the cards on the desk, I'll tell you when to turn them over. So we all sat down, teacher introduced the course, public speaking, 101, whatever it was, I don't know, communication 243, whatever it was. And so she introduced the course, said what it was, gave the general requirements, like, now, we're going to get started right away. What I want you to do, starting with this person over here, and she went right down the line through the rows in the class. You could turn over your card. She did it one at a time. Look at it for 1 minute. Turn it back down again. You had to get up, and then you had to speak for 3 minutes in front of the class and in front of the camera. And I just videotaped you with that. And it could be, and the word could be anything. I think my word, if I remember right, mortified, as I was sitting there, was I finally turned it over. It was teaching or something. And that's the word you get. So get up and talk for 3 minutes about teaching. So people were getting up, and it was an array of people. You know, because you get the extrovert guys like, hey, what's going on? Yeah, my card said cars. So I'll talk about cars. I have a car. You have a car. You know, so 3 minutes of that. But you get somebody getting up, you know, that would just be, look at their sheet, but books. That's all I got. He's like, yes, 3 minutes. Okay. Is it up yet? Literally. And so it was at this moment, I don't know, when I got up, I was toward the back of the class. I always sat in the back. I couldn't see, you know, whatever, I didn't care. I always sat in the back. So I got up, I was glad I sat in the back that day. I got up and I got in front, and I actually spoke for 3 minutes on teaching. And I was a little critical of it, I think, but I felt pretty good because I'd never gotten up in front of people and spoken like that before. And I was really excited, like, wow, I wonder what just happened. And looking back on it, I know God did something. I know he did. It was something creative. It was something that he did in me. And that class turned out to be one of my favorite classes I've ever had. But it was a pure act of obedience just to paper. But in doing so, something was released in that. In embracing God's purpose, something was released in that. In embracing his future, in embracing his vision, something was released in me, something created. As you look at this passage of Scripture, what you see is the naming of John, and Zechariah, he couldn't speak yet. So usually the father is the one that's speaking into that, and they wait for the circumcision in order to do that. And so you get to verse 59 there. So on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child. They were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. Why? It's the tradition. Right. That's the tradition. And the father wasn't available to speak. And so they just assumed, they said, well, we'll name him Zechariah. That's what his father's name is. And the idea was is that your father was your father, and he had a father, and he had a father, and you're of a line, and you're of a lineage, and you were like those who had come before you. And so the son was to be like the father, who was like his father, who was like his before. And understand, I've said this a lot of times, in this culture, right here in the Bible, names meant something. You know, names don't mean anything to us, really. Not in our culture. I mean, you got people making up names in our culture. You know how it goes. You know, we really don't have a huge, long tradition of having word meanings in our names. They did. Their names meant something. Their names still mean something within their culture. See, we don't. So, you know, when they said, well, his name will be Zechariah, what they're saying something more than just, we're just going to name him after his father. They're assuming a future for him. See, Zechariah was a priest in the temple. And so guess what his son was going to do under the assumed future for this child? What was his son going to do? He was going to be a priest in the temple. His father was a certain kind of priest. He would be a certain kind of priest. His father had a certain demeanor. Well, he would have that demeanor. It was assumed that he would be like his father, the name of the father. As Dean said, that was tradition. It was an ordinary practice. And he would be expected to follow in his father's footsteps. Educationally, he'd be expected to follow in his footsteps, go through the same schools his father went to, go through the same practice his father went to, and function the same way that his father did. These are expectations and assumptions. In their culture, they're very strong. Very, very, very strong. What about our culture? What about our culture? You think about the assumptions, the expectations that have been put on you by society. We all have certain expectations put on us by society, by our peers, by our friends, by our family, and they're powerful. They're powerful. Some of them, I think, are really, in some ways, if people put expectations on us that are godly, that are good, that are moving forward, that are within God's vision, I think that that can be really helpful for us. But unfortunately, a lot of times, the expectations that people put on us are what they want. In other words, if your parents weren't Christians, like at the time when he was doing this, my father wasn't a Christian, and he put an expectation, an assumption on me. Because I was talking to him when I was in high school, and I said, well, what do you think I should do? He said, well, I think you should be a paper engineer. Well, what's a paper engineer? I don't even know. You know, but he knew because he was in the paper business, and he was in the business of making paper felts. And whatever that is, I'm not going to get into that. I kind of know what it is, but wow, that's really boring. Anyway, he was making paper felts, and he always had the dream. He always wanted to be an engineer. And so his dream was to be an engineer, but he never became an engineer. None of his other kids that he had from a previous marriage ever became engineers. And so I was his last shot at it. And so when I said, hey, what do you think I should do? Well, I think you should be an engineer. I asked for it. You know, but he gave me what he wanted me to do. He told me what he wanted me to do. And so that was it. So from that point on, I said, hey, I guess I'll be an engineer. I didn't have a better idea. You know, I mean, my ideas were stupid, kind of, you know. I was 16, 17 years old trying to figure out what I was doing. And I didn't have anything going on, so I said, I'll just do that. That'll be fine. And so in a really powerful way, that word, that little conversation, that moment in time had a big effect on my decision-making for the next 2 or 3 years. And things like that happen in our lives. For some of us, I mean, it could have been put on you from time. All right, well, let's say your parents were some kind of professor. Let's say, or let's say your parents were like a teacher, and they want you to be a teacher. Well, they're going to put that on you. Or let's say your dad was a minister or pastor, and they, you know, or let's say they did this, or whatever it is. You see this all the time. And why so many kids of pastors turn out to be really wild and crazy. Because as soon as they crawl up from those expectations of this is what you're going to do, this is who you're going to be, They just rebel and go nuts. But we all have our things that are over us. Even when people speak to us. You ever have somebody say, well, you can't do that. In other words, you're not able to do that. You can't do that. Like I was talking about Aaron before. Learn for him. Well, I guess I can't then. Like when somebody in authority says that, somebody professional says that, like you can't. You know, a lot of us listen to that, oh, I guess I can. Or a doctor might say, well, you can't do this, you can't do that. Well, you're right. Better listen. But when God heals us, who knows? I just want to, I remember a doctor said to me one time, I had a shoulder problem when I was in high school, and there was a doctor that said to me, she said, you know, by the time you're 30, you won't be able to use your left shoulder. It's just going to hang there. It's going to droop there. You have surgery by then that'll fix it. Well, I never had surgery on my shoulder. And take in certain things. And so what I'm trying to just kind of shake a little bit in you is that you can't just take the word somebody, you know, like 20 years ago. Because if God's calling you, if God, maybe there's, God can't use me like that. Well, I beg to differ. He can. Because somehow we built this universe, we built this world of stuff that's based on our experiences. Like this is the only reason. That's why when you talk to people, do whatever you want to do through me. And just because you've never seen it before, just because you've never experienced it before, doesn't mean it can't happen. So it's that experience that happens. You need to try something new. Something new. Come on, I'm comfortable with that. I know you're not comfortable with that, you loser. Come on! None of us are comfortable. Try it. So with the dad. So they went over to him and they started language. To him, to try to figure out what they wanted to name the child. And John. Not, I'd like to call him John. Not that I think John's a nice name. Not that, don't you think John's a nice name? Not anything like that. We need to, we are, as we come into agreement with God, who he says we are. That as God is calling, as God is today. That maybe now, because you're in the middle of it, but maybe years to come, it's astonishing when we look at what God does. How things has fundamentally changed. And so I want to follow after his word. Is comfortable with some of the call or some of the vision that he places into our life we've done before. That vision once again. Not just as something that was in the past, we said forget about it, but the vision that, yeah, you keep bringing it up. You keep bringing it up. Like run away, run away, run away, there it is again. We ignore you, we ignore you, we ignore you. Oh, pops up again. Pray we can own it. We can embrace it. And have your way. Take a few moments, talk to him. Listen.
Fears, maybe some more than others. But as humans, we want to stay in our comfort zone. And we don't want to lit in path. We don't want to go out, step out of ourselves and take those chances. But God is saying,
deer that, and it's going to free some things up in your life too. I think some things have been really kind of regimented, really free some things up.
Job on there.
Oh, awesome.
It is.